It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
I happen to be training for a triathlon right now. Doing a lot of running, cycling, swimming. Well, you know all about that.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
No, actually, I don't. I play real sports. I'm trying to be the best at exercising.
With Dusty Hera.
You got to let the chest meat flow a little bit.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night. Dollar bills, y'all.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
When your mouth is moving, Cam is not a listener.
You know what? I can already tell that I don't like you, and I'm probably not going to like you, no matter how many pull-ups or push-ups you do.
You clearly don't understand the employer-employee relationship.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
I guess I'm starting to, and I don't like it.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two, Dusty and Cam in the morning. Text coming in on the Fan text line 55305. We were talking about feeling for the seniors in high school that are missing out on the opportunity to play their spring sports this year. And
so true.
With the athletic scholarships, you know, going to be an issue with the NCAA granting that waiver for the additional year. How about this one? It says, you know, how about feeling for the kids that aren't going to go play at the next level and just do it for the love of the damn game? I love that text because there are so many of those athletes out there that are just sitting there going, what do I do now? You know, I just had one more opportunity in high school to play, and that's their high school career is over.
Yeah.
Whether it's track and field or lacrosse or baseball or softball.
Anything.
It is just
anything.
Blink of an eye, gone.
Well, we have sports completely canceled for everybody. I mean, that, even all the way down to younger levels. The whole springs, all the things you prepped for, you know, this is one of those hard situations. Like if you were a single athlete, you've been prepping for baseball season or softball season all year round, and then it just gone, you can't get it back. And that's, of course, that's extremely frustrating and it's disappointing. And what do we all do? We just try to move on and try to figure out another option. But at this point, without sports, it's becoming it's sobering to know what really matters in life, because there are a lot of things that matter more than sports, certainly, and we're learning that right now. But it's that outlet. We certainly miss that outlet as fans, and we miss it as athletes.
That's why I mentioned this yesterday. The OSAA has a petition out for letting, you know, the community's done it, trying to petition the OSAA to get spring sports played in the summer if possible, and opening that door in an avenue there.
If possible, yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, that would be fantastic if possible.
Yeah, but then
I'm like, what?
Here's where the ripple effect happens.
Yeah.
What about the kids who are playing fall sports? And when does it leak into, you know, your fall sports activities? And you sit there and you go, man,
bodies and everything. Yeah,
it's tough. It's a really tough situation to be in. Right,
everything
now
is so up in the air. We have like I said yesterday, it wasn't a doomsday mentality. I'm mentally trying to wrap my head around preparing for maybe no fall sports from professionally all the way through and all the way down. If we don't mentally prepare for something of that nature to take care of the human race first, there's going to be ripple effects. Maybe we can just start 2020 over. Can we cancel 2020 and restart and have 2021 be the start over factor?
Too late.
Can we do that? Can we just grind? Can we just let this year sink into the abyss after we recover?
Go into hypersleep?
No, I was
wondering. Isn't that what they go into?
We live in the cancel culture. Can we cancel this year? And then when January 1 hits, can we just start over, please?
I think it already has been canceled by many. I mean, people are just saying, I'm done. Let's go. Fast forward. See if you can just Rumpelstiltskin yourself. Fall asleep for the rest of the year and wake back up.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd like to hibernate like a bear.
Uh-huh. All right, Rat Meow. It's 7:04.
What's hot?
Spooking.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Buck has had this in his little SportsCenter updates, but West Linn High School head football coach Keenan Lowe has been given the Congressional Medal of Honor. It's the highest honor a civilian can get by Congress, apparently. It is because when he was the head football coach at Park Rose and security guard,
incredible.
He subdued hugged it out with a potential school shooter.
Amazing. Yes, the Citizen's Distinction for a single act of heroism is the full award.
Well, there's no more fitting award for Keenan Lowe than that, then.
No question. Congratulations
That
to
is
him.
Very cool. Yes. His whole story is awesome. And talk about things that movies are made of.
Well, I was going to say, I can imagine that being a movie, hopefully. That'd be great.
And the amazing part about it that, you know, he led Park Rose to the playoffs the very next year. Park Rose was a doormat when he took that program over, and he took them to the playoffs the very next year. Unbelievable. Congratulations to Keenan Lowe. Oregon State women's basketball has landed a commitment from five-star guard Greta Kampfschroeder. She's from Illinois. But the amazing part about this is Oregon State women's basketball was terrible. Scott Ruick comes in, and now Greta becomes the seventh blue chip prospect that he has signed. Seven. After being
make it a powerhouse
dead last in the conference for so long. They've done an unbelievable job.
Women's
there.
Basketball in the state of Oregon is just it's incredible right now, both universities.
Yeah, I mean, it has been for a while in the high school ranks. Mm-hmm. When you look at, you know, Oregon City women's basketball, you know, named national champions in the 90s, and some of the talented women's basketball players like Katie Stedding that came out of Lake Oswego, and then, you know, the Braxton sisters at Westview High School in the early 2000s, who were both twin sisters, McDonald's All-Americans. You know, it was... And they went on to be, I believe both of them were all SEC at Georgia as well. I mean, it went from high school. Now the college game is caught up to it. Oregon State. And then, you know, Portland State punched their ticket to the tournament last year. And this year it was University of Portland, who unfortunately didn't get to play in it. How upset do you think Swag is at that? He would have been calling those games, man.
Yeah, I know. It would have been fun for everybody, especially being a part of that university and get a chance to see that. Pretty cool.
And I just think seniors, again, I mean, the fact the school hasn't done this since 97, you're part of this historic thing and don't get a shot to play a game.
Man. All right. The World Athletics. That's a pretty cool name for an organization. It's just World Athletics. They have made an official announcement that they have postponed the 2021 World Outdoor Track and Field Championships that were supposed to be at Hayward Field on the University of Oregon's campus next year. They've bumped it back because they want to give a buffer year in between the Olympics and the World Championships. So the governing body said we're going to bump it back to 2022. Which was an expected move.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything was after the Olympic move. You had to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Hayward Field, 2022. You know, the problem with all of this is, a little behind the curtain here, my in-laws live down in the Eugene area.
Uh-huh.
People have been, like, taking reservations on Airbnb, because this was supposed to be August 26th through the 15th of 2021. They've been taking Airbnb reservations from people around the world for like 3 and 4 years.
Yeah.
Now they have to bump it back a full year.
There's a lot of ramifications. We talk about ripple effect.
Yeah. People, right when it was announced, people were like, all right, start putting my house up on Airbnb. And
I hope those companies are giving people their money back.
Yeah,
I really do.
You can move it a year. Cool. No counties going to move it back a year. Unbelievable. Where are we at? Oh. Matt Miller, Bleacher Report, at NFL Draft Scout on the Twitter bots. He has a report out, and Miller does a fantastic job in this and is very well connected. He says that multiple teams now have Justin Herbert higher on their draft board than Tua Tagovailoa due to the fact that no doctors for the teams can see Tua.
Here it comes.
And they do not trust third-party doctors.
So many intriguing mindsets going into the draft. We're going to hear lots of different reports on lots of different things, and all it takes is a couple different feelers and all the... Of course, if Tua puts out a footwork video of him looking really well, do you take a flyer on a hip, or do you take somebody that's already proven himself? But it's not like Justin Herbert. Let's be real. It's not like he's made it through his entire career without a couple injuries, but he's healthy and he's a big physical monster. So, here come the rumors, the quarterback rumors.
Bum, bum, bum.
4 in the first 10. Realistically.
That's what McShay has, Herbert not being one of those.
He also has seven guys from Alabama. Seven guys from Alabama and seven from LSU. That's 14 from two teams in the first round.
McShay's mock draft has got 4 quarterbacks in the top 10. Herbert going 9th overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I like that. That's a good set. I like that.
Oh, Minshew and Herbert. Like that. It was pretty amazing, though. McShay mocked up his first 2 rounds of the draft. And in the first 2 rounds, 14 LSU and Alabama players combined. 14 out of 64 draft picks are from 2 schools.
What? And we wonder where the Pac-12 is. We're going, oh!
Dear God. That's amazing.
They are a juggernaut. The SEC, the college football, the sun rises and sets in the South. That's it. We're all just spectating.
All right, number one sports story of the day. The labor peace in the National Football League may have been short-lived, as Eric Reed, now a free agent safety, says that the NFL altered language in the collective bargaining agreement after it had been voted upon, and that now he wants a revote. We want a revote, say the lawyers. Remember, there's a lot of players that say they abstained from voting because they never thought it would pass in the first place.
Yeah.
Apparently, the language is they changed paragraph B of section 5, where it was talking about the before 2015 and after 2015 for medical assistance of retired players.
Yeah.
And when you filed for it, for disabled players. Mm-hmm. It said before in the voted upon version, it said after June 1, 2015 in the one that has been posted as the actual CBA.
Oh, those lawyers changing a few verbiage right there, just doing a little bit of adjustments in the words. How good are they?
You think that this is going to lead to a revote, though?
I don't. I honestly don't know. There might be some sort of legalities that you have to look into. That's above my pay grade. But you could see everybody not really happy with some of the agreements in the collective bargaining agreement. Well, newsflash, guys, you might be trying to figure out hopefully having a job next year.
Mm. All right, that is what is hot and cool, folks. Coming up next, Phil versus Tiger in a one-on-one winner-take-all match could have a twist with some quarterbacks involved. 714 on the Fan. All right, golf is one of the sports that you can still play and keep good social distancing. And so many are calling for the PGA Tour to come back. But until then, People have asked Phil Mickelson on social medias whether or not he's trying to get a Tiger versus Phil round two. Remember, in 2018, they did a Shadow Creek in Vegas, and it was trying to be pay-per-viewed, but they ended up not working. But they played one-on-onesies, and it was a huge success. It was awesome, and people loved it. Well, when asked about it, Phil said he's working on it, and he's not teasing. He says, I'm kind of a sure thing.
Well, not only is he working on it, he's working on it with Tiger because, you know, the Tigers, everybody's doing their own deal right now. They're trying to keep their distance, and it was kind of a success, but the streaming issue was a little bit of it caused a problem last year. If you remember, then they ended up giving everybody their money back because some of the streaming stuff went down and it went into the night, and then Phil ended up winning the whole thing and having a little bit of fun. But it was great because golf would work. And, you know, Buck, we talked about it and outlined it, how you could really make it happen. Talk about social distancing. If you're into golf, golf courses that are local are still doing it. But there might be a twist. What would the twist be?
They want to add a new member to each of Phil and Tiger's entourage. They would be paired up with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Hells yes.
Okay, so let's break this down here for a second. If we're going to have that, you're certainly not going to go Tiger Woods and Phil versus Brady and Manning, giving them 12 aside? You giving them 24 shots? No, the only way to do this, the only way to make this happen is to put Tiger and Peyton. That's what I want. I want Tiger and Peyton, and I want Phil and Tom, and it's a true alternate shot format. Alternate shot format is the only way you can make this happen, because if Peyton hits it out of bounds, Tiger has to redo that, and then you have to alternate that way. That's only really to make this fun, and that because you could see the pressure coming from a couple maybe chunks, have a couple little bad shots, but then have the pro come in and help you out, because alternate shot is it's the toughest format, and it causes the most stress and anxiety of any format in golf.
See,
it does.
It would just be fascinating, and I don't care what the matchups are, whether it's, you know,
you
wanted Tiger and Tom and Phil and Peyton.
Yeah.
Is that what you switch them around too? And that I would
No, I want a Tiger and Peyton, Phil and Tom.
Phil and Tom. Yeah. That's the one I would maybe prefer, because then you split up the, you know, Phil and Peyton have the more boisterous personalities.
Yes.
Outwardly.
Yes.
Tiger and Tom would end up trying to
murder everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so you guys, it wouldn't you be may want to split them
watch
up.
Those guys. They wouldn't talk. They wouldn't say anything. Yeah. They'd be just yelling, let's go, and fist pump. I mean, it'd be way too serious. You need to have some levity there.
Split those guys up there and let's get this party started. I think that's fantastic. And I would love to see that, because you would have, and this is why it's so intriguing to me personally, is that you sit there and you look at it and you go, best football rivalry over the last 25 years. Yeah. It was Peyton and Tom.
Yeah.
Best golf rivalry over the last 25 years. Tiger and Phil.
Yes.
You know, and the thing about it, their
rivalries.
And they
can play golf. They're not bad golfers. They can play. They're both single-digit handicaps.
The thing about their rivalries in both situations is that, yes, they wanted to kill each other on the field or on the course, but there was an admiration of each other off the field, and they actually got along. Like, you see the Peyton's Places thing?
Yeah.
They were airing all of them.
It was great.
They're driving around, Tom and Peyton. It's like, why did everybody think we hated each other? And they're like, I don't know.
You can be competitive and have respect for
and
that.
And they're actually very friendly with one another. Same kind of deal with Tiger and Phil, where, you know, they're not best buds or, you know, going on vacations together.
No.
But it would be a cool matchup to see, and you could have great sports rivalries coming together at once. And I'm all for it. I think it would be riveting television.
Not just riveting TV. It would be highly competitive. And those that say that it wouldn't be as entertaining or anything like that, of course it would, because it would have them mic'd up and you could hear stories and you could hear them converse. And if you want to put it on pay-per-view, put it on pay-per-view. Or it doesn't really matter at this point. We want, because think about all these athletes right now as they sit. What are they all doing? They're sitting inside. They're going on FaceTime. They're doing interviews. I mean, there's never a better time to try to communicate or talk to or get to know athletes. They're doing podcasts. All of them are trying to figure out ways to stay in shape. And you're looking at Tiger and Phil are the two biggest brands in golf right now. I mean, you might say it's Rory. No, sorry. It's still Tiger and Phil. That's who moves the needle. When they show up to a golf course, everybody is watching. And then you get Peyton, and come on, is there a better duo? You can't tell the story of Tom Brady without talking about Peyton Manning. You can't tell the story of Peyton Manning without talking about Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things, work well. So if we can find a way to make this work, guys, and make it, donate it all, the everything to a charity, if you want to, I mean, go have a coronavirus fund and just have it, it'd be great. It'd be great.
Well, I'm looking at this and just going, it's another opportunity for Peyton to lose to Tom.
Really? You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Remember who Peyton is paired with.
Well, yeah, I know.
He's paired with Tiger.
But just Tom don't lose to Peyton, man.
That famous Broncos-Bucks rivalry.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Broncos and Bucks. Let's go.
Here's
Tiger,
a fair question.
Tiger and Tom may have to play together because Tom now lives in Florida.
Who's going to have an uglier uniform they played their last game in? Because the Broncos uniforms are hideous.
It depends on what the Buccaneers end up.
That's my point. They're going to go back to the old school, early 2000s.
The pewter and red. Yeah. I'm on board with that. Those are okay looking.
Sharp.
I liked them.
Sharp.
As long as they bring back Mike Allstott to unveil them.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what he looks like these days.
I bet he's just country strong still. He's out just chopping wood.
Yeah, he looks like just Evan Gaddis.
He'd probably. Big, huge beard.
Yeah.
It's like Ben Roethlisberger in full court. No, he's just a monster. That man was a monster.
I loved
watch
that
him up close.
Thunder and lightning backfield with he and Warwick Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
That was so fun to watch. If they would have, never mind. Just quarterback, man. Quarterback. But Brad Johnson.
Hey, Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson got it for him.
He got you one.
Okay. If you were to watch, though, so Brady and Manning at golf, is there anybody else that you would rather see? Because but also want to see? Because this one says I'd rather see Romo and Steph Curry.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't. Yeah. And the reason why this works
I've
so well.
I've seen Steph play. He's a good guy, but it's like,
he's pretty good.
No, he's a good player. No, that's what I'm saying. Good. But this is like, it's Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
And they're comparable in their skill sets, though. And that is what I think is interesting. Like, if you put Steph Curry out there, who is who would be his rival where it has a comparable golf game to
Larry, Ray Allen.
But
or
rival.
Andre Iguodala, who's obsessed with golf.
You're not going to put LeBron out there, though.
No, God, no.
That's the closest thing. Or James Harden. You're not going to put him out there and roll him out there. It's a very hard thing to find somebody who is also comparable at the skill set as, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And so Brady and Manning, they got a built-in rivalry and comparable skill sets. I think this would be a slam dunk.
But you notice how we focus on those two guys, too, because we forget about Tiger and Phil and that rivalry and what makes it so great.
No, it's awesome.
All four personalities are unique. Romo's good, but Romo takes it a little too serious. He wants to be a pro, and Romo's great. But they're just, Romo is not a six-time Super Bowl champ or a two-time Super Bowl champ. He's not.
Are they going to dress in matching outfits, you think?
I don't know. I say they have to wear the Payne Stewarts.
Oh.
I say both
the
of them
NFL gear?
Yeah, they have to wear that. Yeah. Which gear do they wear?
Old Phil Mickelson in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers creamsicle vest.
Well, I'm trying to think. Tiger grew up in L.A. His team, is he a Raider? Is he a Raider fan? Isn't Tiger a Raider fan? Pretty sure he's a Raider.
I don't know. Backwards hat Tiger's probably a Raider
fan. He went
fan.
To Stanford, so he's kind of Bay Area. Well, what do you have grown up as?
Raiders.
Had to have been Raiders. Either. Yeah. So he's got to wear the Raiders.
You're telling me Earl Woods let Tiger and watch anything except for golf?
Hell yeah, true. But Phil grew up, Phil was an Arizona guy. I wonder what his
NFL
team.
San Diego.
So he's a Charger. So we'll give him a Charger fan. And then, of course, Peyton's got to wear, he's got to wear Indianapolis. And then Tiger, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, here it is. I'm looking at professional golfers' favorite NFL teams, Tiger Woods, Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, Oakland Raiders. Okay.
So got that going for him, which is nice. It's a kind of a weird move. It is backwards hat Tiger's favorite team
because
backwards hat Tiger and bleached goatee. Remember the weird Christmas photo with him in the bleached goatee?
Santa Tiger.
Oh,
didn't he call
gosh.
It something else? What was that? I forgot what it was called.
Like bad claws or something.
Yeah.
What was it? It was something weird.
I appreciated it.
I don't know.
It's good.
And Phil Mickelson is a
Chargers
fan.
Chargers.
So we got that because he could have been a Cardinals fan.
He could have.
You never
go
know.
Chargers, go.
Yeah, could have been Chargers.
Neither one of those connect to Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Yeah.
Mac Daddy Santa is what you were searching
Mac
for.
Mac Daddy Santa.
What a horrible, horrible name for your alter ego Santa Claus is Mac Daddy Santa.
Mac Daddy.
God bless you, Tiger.
Challenged by the kids to dress up. When the kids challenge you, You make a TikTok.
How do you think Sam and Charlie are feeling when Mac Daddy Santa comes down the chimney?
Pretty good, because Daddy's worth $1 billion.
Yeah.
Just Daddy's shirtless wearing sunglasses with a bleached goatee.
Hey, hide the Just Perkins the waitresses. Hide the Perkins waitresses, and when Mac Daddy Santa's around, you never know what's going to happen next. Yeah. All right, coming up next, we will have Alex Brink, Cougs radio network analyst, and E-Force Football. He coaches quarterbacks, receivers, some drills that the football players should be doing and could be doing when they don't have any coaching during this spring and downtime. We'll talk to Brink and catch up with him after Buck with SportsCenter. All right, 7:32, Dustin Cam in the morning. Joining us now, Cougs radio network analyst and E-Force Football coach, quarterback. We're not going to call him a whisperer, are we? Do we call him a whisperer?
And
guru?
New dad also, right?
And new dad.
Congratulations. I haven't got a chance to say that yet.
Alex Brink. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Thank you.
What's sleep like there, bro? I remember that day. I remember what it's like.
I like to. I've just decided that sleep happens in like a 24-hour block now, right?
So,
like,
somewhere.
if I get 6 hours in those 24 hours, then it's okay. That's what I convinced myself anyway.
Yeah. Well, you've already got it down. I mean, yesterday when we were texting, you said you're surviving. Yeah. And that's parenting.
Yeah.
You have a newborn.
Yeah, exactly.
It's exactly what it is. Just get to the next day.
Exactly.
Keep the chains moving. You
know, right. Well, you know, it could be worse, right? Because at least with a newborn, he's not doing a whole lot right now. So being stuck in the house is not the worst. It's not like having toddlers or something like that.
Wait till they start moving, man. Oh, boy. Wait till they start moving and crawling. Next thing you know, you're like, oh, my gosh. It's like herding cats. They're everywhere. Right.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad everybody healthy, safe. You staying at home and all that stuff? You doing that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, we are socially distancing, staying at home, and everybody is healthy and safe to this point.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Cougs. Start this thing off with a little Cougs action. Nick Rolovich, man, he's come in, and he's throwing haymakers when he's coming in. He's out in the community. He was buying people food when he first showed up, doing meet and greets at bars, and now he's helping out any way he can with, you know, the coronavirus aid up in the Palouse and Spokane area. What has been the initial impression of Nick Rolovich in the first couple of months on the job?
Well, I tell you what, it's been, you know, he's been first class. And, you know, I've known Coach Rolovich for a while since, you know, his time being on the West Coast and throughout the Mountain West. And so, you know, there was always, you knew he was a good dude. He's a good coach. But I think the way he stepped into this role at Washington State and just embraced the community, embraced, you know, being a Cougar and what that means. I mean, you said it, what, in his first week on the job, he's over in Seattle for a function. He goes to a local bar and says, hey, any Cougs in the area, come on down, tweets it out, says, come on down, I'm buying, you know, drinks on me, right? And if we all know Cougs, right? Anybody buying drinks is close to their heart. So that's how he kicked it off. But since then, you're talking about some of the things he's doing, you know, off the field right now, up in Pullman. Him and his staff are going around to all the local restaurants. Every night they're supporting one of the local restaurants, right? Like things like that build community. I mean, he's embraced that. And to be totally honest, it's a little bit of a refresher from Mike Leach, who, you know, was a great football coach and did a ton of great things at Washington State. But, you know, he was not the guy that was, you know, front and center in the community. He kind of kept to himself other than his daily walks to work. But in general, you know, Nick Rolovich's personality has really been a light up in Pullman.
So talk about a little bit, Alex, about the system and about how much different it is not having Coach Leach there and what Coach Rolovich is going to bring around. Selfishly, is a tight end going to come back in this game? And will you see a little bit of that? Is this offensive system going to transition really quickly, do you think, with some of the personnel that was already at the university?
Sure. I mean, there's definitely some there's more flexibility in the run and shoot or the fun and gun, as, you know, Coach Rolovich likes to call it, in that, you know, there's things like tight ends, you know, can come into play if he needs them. The running back is featured much more, particularly, you know, running the football. You know, he's had multiple 1,000-yard rushers during his time at Hawaii. And, you know, so I think there's some of those changes are going to be good, provide a little bit more balance. But in general, you know, personnel-wise, it is very plug-and-play. I mean, I talked to him and the other guys, the other guys on the offensive staff during signing day back in February, and they, you know, they said, hey, we look at this roster, and these are guys that, you know, are better versions of what we had at Hawaii in that they can just step in and play right away, you know, with the speed and the depth of the receiver position. Quarterback's obviously going to be a question mark, but in general, the roster fits really well offensively with what, you know, Coach Rolovich and those guys want to do. And that was a big part of the hire. I mean, Pat Shun, the AD, said, we are not, you know, doing a rebuild. This is, the hire was going to be to win in 2020. And that's what I think the goal was in bringing Coach Rolovich in.
So is it your belief that, I know that spring football, how much spring football did they get in? Will it hurt a little bit? So you believe that because maybe the terminology and maybe some of the systems are already in place, that it won't hurt as much as other universities that are going through maybe a coaching change or could miss some significant time from spring and into fall camp?
I think, you know, I think the probably the better way to put it is that, you know, the personnel-wise, it's a good fit. You're not going to have to learn, like, a ton of new formations. You're not going to have to learn, like, a bunch of new concepts in the sense of, you know, bringing, you know, you don't have to have two tight end sets and fullbacks and that sort of thing. It's mm-hmm. still a spread offense. But I do think, you know, fundamentally, it is different than the air raid, and they're missing, you know, spring ball. I mean, I don't even know if they got any practice in, you know, maybe one or two, you know, but the fundamentally, you know, there is some big differences between run and shoot and air raid. And one of those big differences is that, you know, the receivers have a ton of latitude to make changes in their in the play, mm-hmm. on the fly, you know, change their routes. For instance, if I'm a receiver and I'm running a go route and I recognize that it's a certain coverage and I can't win on that go route, I can turn that go route into an in route or a curl route, right? And so the quarterback and the receiver have to be on the same page and be seeing the same thing, and that's why those reps are so important. So I do think, you know, there is an element we're missing, you know, practice time and spring ball could have an effect on this offense early in the season because, you know, there is more where the quarterback and wide receiver have to be on the same page.
Alex Brink is our guest, Cougs Radio Network color analyst for the football program. And, you know, unfortunately, this is what, the second time in the last couple of years the Cougs have lost a player unexpectedly in a death, Bryce Beekman. Passing away. And, you know, this is something where, you know, it's heartbreaking watching, you know, family members and then teammates say, this is the second time I've had to go through this in my time at Washington right. State. How is the football community up there and, well, the whole Coug community handling the loss of yet another player on the heels of, you know, Tyler Helinski?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is, as you said, tragic. I mean, absolutely heartbreaking. And I think, you know, as a family, we're all trying to come together at this time. And, you know, Bryce is a kid. He was a junior college transfer who came in. He was a full-time starter last year, you know, for the Cougs. And, you know, more importantly than being a good player, he was a great person and a great kid. My experience with him, you know, post-game and interviews and all that, I mean, he really just lit up the room. And so, you know, it's heartbreaking in that sense. And, you know, I think from a football team and a football community and at Washington State, it's, you're really trying to rally together and support each other during this time because, you know, there's not only do you have, you know, that challenge going on, you have the challenge of everybody having to be separated because of, you know, the nature of where we're at with, you know, the coronavirus and having to be socially distanced. So how do we manage this, you know, both from an emotional and kind of a mental standpoint? And so I think trying to rally together as much as possible, you know, and doing that the best way we can.
You know, during this time, Alex, it's definitely different for a lot of young athletes. And, you know, and you're part of eForce. I don't know what your system is, and I'm seeing a lot of different coaches doing video study, putting out on their social media platforms drills and things to do. If you're a young athlete right now and you're trying to prepare for whatever, let's be specific. I mean, we're talking about football, maybe the quarterback play or other types of things. What can these athletes do to learn how to motivate? Because that's one of the things I think it's harder in today's world is that there's a lot of direction. There's a lot of coaching. Some of these athletes are waiting for things to do. How can they self-motivate, or what are some of the ideas that you could help them with?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. I mean, it's a very challenging time to be, you know, I think a young athlete, particularly at the high school level, because, you know, you might miss your spring season. You're looking ahead to fall and football wise, what that might look like, you know, specifically for them. And, you know, there's this time right now where, you know, everybody's at home and it's really easy to kind of just sit back and say, well, I'll pick it up once I'm allowed to get outside or get back into the gym. And the reality is that, you know, if you spend this time, you know, not working and not getting better, you're going to set yourself back. And that's hard because, you know, as young people, you know, like you said, not having the direction of somebody telling me what to do and having a lot of hours in the day, I don't always take advantage of them. And so my experience and what we've done, and, you know, particularly at eForce, is try to move things, you know, more to an online and to a digital platform. So football specific wise, we're doing a ton of, you know, kind of neck up type of thing, chalk talks, Zoom meetings, and doing, you know, looking at film and breaking down, you know, what it means to process the defense, not just from a quarterback position, but from a wide receiver position or a running back position. And then defensively, you know, what are we looking at? How do offenses line up to us? You know, how can we get our technique better? Because there's a lot that you can do, right? And what I've found is that, you know, guys that really want it, you know, they're finding a way to work, right? They can do something in the garage. They can do something, you know, out in the street, at least for a little bit, and in the backyard. And so you have to find a way to just chip away at it and keep, you know, at the very least, don't take a step back, right? Try and maintain where you're at before all this happened. And I think, you know, we found with our performance training, you know, providing opportunities, home workouts that don't necessarily require having weight, because you don't have to have the weight to still get better. And so there's tons of ways to do it. The resources are available online. We have them at e4sports.com. They're available on YouTube. They're available on Twitter. Go find it if you're a young athlete and keep working, because you can't take this time off and then expect to just pick it back up, right?
You know, is that something that, you know, you guys are trying to reinforce with kids? Because this is, we talk about uncharted territory in so many different ways with what's going on right now. But the injury prevention too, like just doing a little bit of work, and especially with like a quarterback's arm and kind of ramping up, at what point in the year do you really start, you know, getting your arm loose and ready for the fall? Because eventually it's got to be ready to throw the football.
No doubt. And it's a real lesson in accountability for, you know, for young people, because as you look at it, the things that, you know, especially that we do with eForce, right, there's some things that are really fun, right? Like, hey, I can get on the field and I can play 7-on-7 or go throw one-on-ones or do these things that, you know, they're fun and they have value, but they also may not be the most important thing. And sometimes the most important things that we do as athletes are kind of the most mundane things also, right? So if I'm a quarterback, it may not be throwing the deep ball 50 yards downfield. It may be simply working on where does my plant foot go, or how do I finish my follow through, or what does my release look like, that I can do literally in my driveway, or I could do in a patch of grass, you know, next to my house. But that, you know, when we're not in a situation like this, that seems so boring and it seems like I'm not getting much done. But, you know, now it's like, hey, let's refocus on some of the little things as athletes. And it could be a basketball player working on his dribbling. I saw a great clip from Peyton Pritchard the other day working on stationary dribbling. Like, right? I mean, that to me is a great example of an athlete in his prime teaching young people that, hey, you don't have to go out and jack threes to become a better basketball player. You can do it in your garage practicing your dribbling. And I think that's kind of the way we should approach this from an athletic standpoint in the time we're in.
Finally, here's a question that's kind of been what's been plaguing me, because it's difficult during the time of figuring out what we do with sports and what the future will hold. Football in the fall, and you know, we get to see the NFL draft, or we think about high school right now. We see that the college eligibility has changed and some of those things. And you're looking at athletes, and we're looking at it. Where has sports fallen for you right now when it comes to recognizing what's important, what isn't important, how much we miss it, or some of the outlets we use when it comes to talking with athletes or doing that? How much have you missed sports, or is it still settling in a little bit for you?
I mean, it's just so unprecedented, right? I mean, I wake up every morning and you kind of expect, you know, that you're going to wake up and come out of a dream and you're going to be able to go back to your daily life. And the reality is we can't, and we have to all take it upon ourselves to appreciate, you know, where we're at as a society and how we can individually make it better. I like that. You know, I think in general, one of my kind of core values is that, you know, us as human beings can impact each other, you know, kind of one-to-one. And if we all do that every day, just that little bit in our circle, it's going to make the entire country, the entire world better, instead of focusing on this way bigger picture. And this is a great example of that. If every day we focus on, hey, just staying inside and just being socially distant and those sort of things, we can beat this thing together. And so, you know, sports for me, you know, that's what I think about, is if we all do this, then, you know, sports will be able to come back. But if we don't abide by all these things and try our best to do this, then, you know, we may be looking at a fall where we don't have football. And that's a really scary thing when I think about seniors in high school and mm-hmm. their opportunities to, you know, be out on Friday nights again. And so, you know, trying to do that, I think, is the biggest thing. For me, it's you know, it's always hard when golf season comes around. I want to be out on the golf course. I want to watch the Masters, right? Yeah. So that's really from a spectator where I feel the most hurt. But, you know, more so from, you know, as a you know, human being, it's looking at the world we're in right now and what we need to do individually to make sure we beat this thing together.
Hey, you know, one thing is that a lot of new dads say, I can't get out and go golfing because I got the little one. Now is the time to do it because they sleep. Yeah. They're sleeping most of the time.
It's a great point.
You put him in the golf mm-hmm. cart with you, and he can roll around with you. He's got to learn the game somehow.
Good luck telling the wife with that one. Good luck. That's good luck.
I know, right? That's where my mind went. But then I'm also thinking about Dusty. Like, boy, that's a real bet move on Dusty's part.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And because the way my wife looks at it is that she's going, all right, I get some free time too. If you're willing to take that burden on, mm-hmm. go ahead and you got to try. You never know if it's going to work unless you try, Brink. Mm-hmm. So give it a whirl, man. Go do it.
Absolutely. I'll run a viral right now. Yeah. We can make this
see how that works out, then report back.
Yeah, let me know. Just text me. I'll do a welfare check on you mm-hmm. later and let's yeah, see please. How it works out. All right, please. Alex Brink, Cougs Radio Network, and E-Force Football, man. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right. Good stuff from Brink. I mean, and that's basically it. I mean, he says it. Right now, we're in a weird time where it is... you're not quite sure what to be doing as an athlete if you can't be out working out. There's plenty of stuff you can just go and look up drills, footwork, release stuff. Go online and you can work on in your driveway, in your yard. Just the simple little things and little tips and tricks. All right, coming up next, we do it every day at this time. Time to go off the rails on the Fan.
What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
A fungal spore.
Growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
All right, 55305. That is the Fan text line. Boredom is setting in across the sports landscape and really across all landscapes in every walk of life. People are getting bored at home.
I hate that word.
What?
No, it's not your fault.
Landscapes?
No, boredom.
Why?
I just...
Well, is it not setting in for a lot of people?
No, it is, but it's one of those, it's a word, it to me, it always feels like a cop-out word. You know, it does. I don't know why. Maybe it's the instills of coach. Bored? Oh, you think you're bored? I got something for you. And I just remember my dad going, oh, God, don't use that word around.
Well, there's a lot of people that are doing the same things over and over again, so you get bored.
I know. It's one of those words that just resonates of, ooh, don't use that. Don't use that. We can do something. We can do. There could be things we can do. We could adjust.
Well, Joe Buck has found a way to use his gifts and his skills. He is doing, and along with a lot of other play-by-play guys, are doing play-by-play of everyday life, yeah. including a video of golfer Justin Thomas fixing his hair on a FaceTime chat.
He is surveying the damage from the day before, the night's sleep, trying to put every follicle in its place. He's doing the Jordan Spieth pushdown. I do the Jordan Spieth pushdown. It's the only way to try to make your hair look fuller and thicker. And now I think he's getting to an area that he likes, that he appreciates. And now when will he be satisfied? There it is, Justin Thomas, an American treasure. Good luck. You're young, kid. Look into hair transplants. I did it. Not sure they worked.
He's just mocking Justin Thomas for going bald.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, both he and Jordan Spieth are follically challenged. They're the youngs. When it's bad, you know, when it starts to go and you're in your 20s, you're just like, wait a minute. Do whatever you can to hold on. Not all of us have the luxury of LeBron where you could just get the best of the best. But those guys.
Oh, we're calling LeBron's the best of the best? Don't you remember it fell out?
I understand it fell out.
It fell out at one point this season.
When I say that's the best of the best, LeBron James can afford the best. And he's in California, the home of all, we say, bodily improvements.
Sure.
I mean, isn't it the mecca of
cosmetic surgery?
Yeah. There. I mean, if you go anywhere, that's where you're going. So, yeah, that's the best of the best. And poor golfers. That's right. They'll just have the swim cap line, tan line the rest of their lives anyway.
What's the point of getting the hair follicles, though, the hair transplant surgery, if you're just going to have a ridiculous tan line anyways?
Yeah. No, it just looks like the Ryder Cup tan line every time when they have their pictures.
Your hat, like you're permanently wearing a beanie over your head.
Called the Stuart Sink or the Jim Furyk.
Oh, Furyk's is so bad. And
Tiger, the last 4 years, it's gone way back. I think he just needs to let it go. But he won't because his head's a little...
Well, you can't be Mac Daddy Santa if you have.
Well, you can still grow the goatee. You know, I'm one of the favors. Just do it.
Matt Kuchar has an interesting one because
this is bad too.
When he gets nervous, he turns really red. Or when he gets after he wins something, he gets excited. Mm-hmm. His face turns red. Well, his face turns red. Then he takes his hat off, like after he wins a tournament, and it's jarring how white the top of his head is when the rest of his cheeks are flush red too. There's perks of being a professional golfer. One is I think it, like when you become a professional golfer, it comes with a smoking hot wife, comes with your tour card. And then they take off their hats and you're like, oh, he still landed that smoking hot wife and he's got two different colors of a face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, success.
Two different colors of a face, but like 10 digits in the bank account.
Success brings them in.
Oh, that's what does it, huh, Buck?
Ladies like the success.
Deal has a good point here. If you're talking the best of the best and from hair transplant, it's Tom Brady. Tom Brady and Steve Carell got really good plugs as well.
You think Tom Brady has hair plugs?
Yeah, you need to Google it, dude.
You're nuts. Google I don't care what Google says. You're nuts.
No, look at the pictures of how his hair looked thin. And then now it has made a glorious comeback.
You could just get your hair thickened by having some nice thickening shampoo or some topical ointments. And Yeah, it does.
No.
Yes, it does.
No.
Okay, Mr. I have hair and I know everything guy. Well, yeah, what? I've tried it all. Trust me. Some of the stuff works.
And it obviously didn't work for you.
No, because I'm one of the extreme cases. It just goes bad. It goes bad. But some of that stuff... does work. It does. There's topical. Not everybody has their head sliced open and put plugs in. Well, not all those guys do that.
But he had some thick power alleys, and now it is just luscious.
Mm-hmm. You got some good lettuce.
I mean,
it's
quite the comeback that his hairline has made. If you could just Google the photos, where the power alley was, and where the hair falls now. Pretty impressive, man. And I don't knock a guy for getting them either. Hey, Brady with the cul-de-sac hairdo would be a little weird looking. He looks better with a full head of hair. Go do it. If you want to have that hair, go get it.
Yeah. Do what you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Have that luscious head of lettuce going on. LeBron did it. You know, you said it.
I wouldn't know if he had a luscious head of lettuce, but LeBron is holding on.
Well, no, I'm talking about getting the transplant. Joe Buck almost lost his voice from it.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, he went and he got that surgery and woo, this text. No plugs, that's just the result of TB12.
Yeah, it is. Avocado.
Avocado ice cream.
So that's if you stop eating strawberries and tomatoes, your hair just magically comes back.
Perfect. All right, let's get to some football. Eric Reed files a grievance and Roger Goodell's catching some heat. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.